Welcome to ESL Podcast's English Cafe, number 13. You're listening to episode number 13 of the English Cafe. My name is Dr. Jeff McQuillan. I'm your host from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. On today's cafe, we're going to talk about spam. We're going to say a little about Valentine's Day and the Olympics. And of course, we will, as always, be answering some of your questions. Here we go. As many of you know, on our website, we have a map of the world where you can put your mark on. And unfortunately, this is a public website. It's not the MAP program. The MAP website is not owned by the Center for Educational Development. And the reason I'm telling you that is because, unfortunately, yesterday I got a spam message from someone on the Frapper website. A spam, S-P-A-M, is unwanted email. Usually it's email from someone who is selling something. In this case, it was from a scam, and a scam, S-C-A-M, is when someone tries to get money from you, to cheat you, to steal your money. And unfortunately, that is the a very common kind of email nowadays. You all know that, of course. And unfortunately, we have a little bit of that spam on our Frapper website. So if you get a message from someone asking you for money from Nigeria, well, you'll know that this is not a real email. This is someone sending you spam. This is what we would call a fraud. A fraud, F-R-A-U-D, is when someone tries to steal or cheat. Now, interestingly enough, the word spam, S-P-A-M, is actually the name of a type of food. There's a company back in my home state of Minnesota that makes a type of, it's a ham, meat from a pig, a ham, but it's in a can, and it's called spam, and it's very popular in some places. And it is also, however, considered by many people to be not very good. And so people who don't like spam, and there are many, for some reason that word was started to get used on the internet to describe mail, email that you don't want and that you didn't ask for. So that's our little story today about spam and scams and frauds. Well, let's talk about something a little bit happier. Today is the 14th of February, and that is Valentine's Day. And as you probably know, Valentine's Day in the United States and in many countries is a day that we celebrate or think about someone that we love, usually someone that we are in love with romantically, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, husband or a wife. Though sometimes we, in American schools on this day, sometimes they'll have Valentine gifts for the children, or the children will make each other cards. C-A-R-D-S. A card is, of course, like a little note for Valentine's Day. The traditional gifts for Valentine's Day are chocolate. So giving someone, usually a woman, some chocolate, stuffed animals. The word there is S-T-U-F-F-E-D. A stuffed animal is like a little bear or a little animal that is made out of some sort of fabric or cloth. Fabric, F-A-B-R-I-C, is your clothing, for example, is made out of some fabric. It could be cotton, or it could be some other artificial, what we would call synthetic fabric. And a stuffed animal is an animal made out of some sort of fabric that has something literally stuffed into it. To stuff something means to fill something. And so they put certain soft material, sometimes plastic of some sort, and that is a stuffed animal. Well, that's a common gift. Roses, of course, red roses would be the most romantic, or some other kind of flower. And finally, I think the most popular gift would be jewelry. Jewelry, J-E-W-E-L-R-Y, is things like a ring or a diamond earrings or something you wear around your neck, what we would call a pendant, P-E-N-D-A-N-T. A pendant is something that hangs around your neck. And those, of course, are very popular for Valentine's Day as well. You're probably wondering what I am going to buy my beautiful wife for Valentine's Day. And of course, the answer is all of those things. Thank you. Thank you very much. So happy Valentine's Day. Hopefully, if you celebrate Valentine's Day, you got something for your person who you love. I also wanted to talk a little bit today about the Olympics. And the Olympics have begun, as you probably know, in Italy, the Winter Olympics. There's been something of a controversy here in the United States over what we should call the city where the Olympics are being held. Some of the newspapers are calling it by the English name, which is Turin, T-U-R-I-N. And we talk about a city in Italy. That city is usually called Turin. But some of the other newspapers and the television stations are calling it by the Italian name for the city, which is Torino. And they're different depending on which newspaper you read. It will either say the Turin Olympics or the Torino Olympics. Now, I like Torino since it is an Italian city, and I think they should be able to have the city pronounced the way they pronounce it. But there are some people who still call it the Turin Olympics. Well, the Olympics, of course, are famous for skiing and for skating and other sports. I think skiing and skating, particularly the women's skating, what we would call figure skating, F-I-G-U-R-E, figure skating is when you skate on the ice to music, for example. And it could be a man, it could be a man and a woman, a couple, or just a woman. It seems like the woman's competition is usually one of the most popular. And here in the U.S., the most popular athlete at the Olympics, the one that most people know about in the United States, is Michelle Kwan. And Michelle Kwan this was her third, or going to be her third, Olympics. But unfortunately, she was injured, and so she will not be competing this year. The other famous athlete here in the United States, somewhat controversial, is named Bodie Miller. Bodie, B-O-D-E, is his first name. Very unusual, not a common first name. And Bodie Miller is a skier and someone who goes down the hill or down the mountain on skis. Well, he is controversial. Most people had never heard of, did not know who he was before the Olympics, but he has made some statements. He has said some things about how he likes to, we would use the verb informally, to party, P-A-R-T-Y, means to go out, perhaps have an alcoholic drink, dance, that sort of thing. And so some people have not liked some of the things he said about that. He, I was watching last night, and he lost the first race that he was in, the downhill skiing event. And downhill is all one word, D-O-W-N-H-I-L-L. And he lost that event. In fact, the winner was a French skier, and his win was considered an upset. And when we say an upset, U-P-S-E-T, we mean it wasn't expected. You thought someone else was going to win, but they lose, and this other person wins. So as a noun, upset, we can use that in sports. For example, if a team that nobody thinks is going to win suddenly wins, that would be an upset. You can also have an upset in an election. So you are voting for someone, and the person that you didn't think would win wins. That would be an upset. You can also use that word as a verb, to upset. To upset, and notice the accent on the verb is on the second syllable. So when it's a noun, it's upset. And when it's a verb, it's upset. And upset means to create an upset. So if you upset someone in a sporting game, it means that you win when you are not expected to win. To upset also means to make someone angry or to make someone not comfortable. To make someone uncomfortable is also to upset someone. Well, in any case, the Olympics have begun. The first night of the Olympics is what we would call the opening ceremony. The opening ceremony is the beginning of the Olympics, and of course it will end with the closing ceremony in a few weeks. Now let's answer a few questions. Well, lots of good questions as usual. A question from Pascal in France. And Pascal asks why I say at the beginning of the podcast, I talk about today's podcast. And it's spelled T-O-D-A-Y apostrophe S. And the question is about possessives in English. How do we indicate possessives? Well, you can have a possessive with the apostrophe S for a person. So, for example, Jeff's cup would be the cup or glass that belongs to Jeff. But you can also use the possessive form, the apostrophe S, for things or even ideas. So today's podcast is the podcast for today or the podcast of today. So you don't have to have it, just use that for people. A thing can also, we can also use that rule for the apostrophe S. Another question comes from Yu, and Yu is originally from China, but now is studying in Ireland. And you wants to know what the expression in terms of means. So when someone says, in terms of the Olympics, I think the best event, the best sport is skiing. In that sentence, in terms of means talking about that, or this is the subject concerning this particular subject. Let me give you another example. In terms of the weather, I like Hawaii more than Minnesota. Meaning, if we are talking about the weather, and that is our subject, and of course we mean here good weather, I would rather be in Hawaii than Minnesota. So in terms of, we use that expression when we want to tell someone what the subject is, what the general subject is. And usually we follow that expression by giving an opinion or giving additional information. So thank you, Yu, for that question. Philip from Germany had a question about must, got to, and have. For example, what's the difference between I must go and I have to go and I've got to go? Well, actually, all of these mean the same. I must go. And notice we don't say I must to go. We just say I must go. Means that it is necessary. I have an obligation to go. If you say, I have to go, you're saying the same thing. It is necessary. There is an obligation. The expression, I got to go, is informal. You can also say, I have got to go. And there, the difference is small. I think we might sometimes use the expression, I've got to go, to express a certain urgency. And urgency, U-R-G-E-N-C-Y, means that it has to happen right now, right away, or it's very necessary. So it's one of those cases where we try to make it sound even more important or more, give it more emphasis. So you can say, I have to leave now, I've got to leave now, or I must leave now. I would say also that we would probably use must a little bit more formal expression, a little more perhaps something that someone a little older or a little more sophisticated, someone who wants to sound a little bit more educated might use must. Have to and have got to are probably a little more common, a little more informal. But in terms of meaning, there's certainly no difference between must go and have to go. They're both perfectly acceptable. Finally, we have a question from Gero, G-E-R-O, also from Germany. And he wants to know the difference between to raise, R-A-I-S-E, and to rise, R-I-S-E. To raise is when you are, or someone, is lifting something up. So, for example, I can raise my coffee cup, means I lift it up into the air higher than where it is now. We also use that verb raise when we are talking about what parents do to help their children when they are growing up. Parents raise children means they take care of children as they grow older. The verb to rise is used usually for people, but it can also be used in a couple of other cases. To rise means that you get up, not that you lift something else up, but that you are getting up, are getting higher. So I rise, for example, I rise at 7 a.m. every morning, means I get up out of bed, I stand up and leave my bed at 7 a.m. We also use that verb for the sun. The sun rises in the morning, and it sets, S-E-T-S, it sets at night. We can also use that sometimes, that verb to rise, for the water. For example, in a river during the spring, the river rises, means there's more water, and so it goes up. And if it rises too much, it will flood the land around it. To flood, F-L-O-O-D, is when you have water that goes over places where you don't normally have water. So in Egypt, for example, the Nile traditionally floods the land around it. And that's because it rises at a certain time in the year. So thank you, Gerald, for that question. Well, we've gone a little long today, so we better wrap things up. And to wrap up, W-R-A-P-U-P, means to end something, usually a program. And this is the end of today's English Cafe. We'll be back in a few days with another edition. My name is Jeff McQuillan. Happy Valentine's Day. We'll see you next time on the English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.